And join me, if you will, this morning in the book of Titus. You can make your way to Titus chapter 1. We'll be working in this New Testament letter this morning. While you're making your way there, let me give you just a little background to set us up for our study. Titus is a letter that was addressed by the Apostle Paul to a preacher named Titus, thus the title of the book. The two of them, at some point, had labored together on the island of Crete, though there is some mystery that surrounds their work together. We just don't have enough New Testament information to ascertain exactly with certainty when that was and how that work began. But we do know that at some point they were working together. And then Paul moved on and left Titus in Crete, which was not unusual for Paul. Occasionally, when he had pressing business elsewhere or more work to do, he would work an area for a while and leave a co-laborer behind to continue on, and he would move on to do something else. And that's what we have going on with him and Titus. It does appear from the letter that he leaves Titus to do some difficult work in Crete, and for reasons I think that all of us would understand. Here in chapter 1, for example, Paul alludes to a problem with false teachers. Even in verse 11 says, they are disrupting whole families. And so there was a struggle against those who would lead disciples astray, teaching things that were not true. But more broadly, the culture on this island evidently was notoriously wicked. And so disciples had that ongoing struggle of not being pulled into the evil behavior going on all around them. And so when you start putting all that together, sounds like Titus had a pretty tough work to do. And so at some point, after Paul makes his exit, he writes this letter back, which was also not unusual. Even after he was gone, Paul still cared about the work he did in other places and sometimes sent people back to check up on the fellows he left behind, or in this case, writes a letter back to sort of check in with Titus and to remind him about what he had called him to do. Look at chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains. That's an important phrase in the book, in that it sort of defines what Paul had called him to do and what Paul is now checking in to be sure that he does. Though there is some mystery about that phrase as well. Maybe we can get Jeff to dig into the Greek and give us precision on it. But when you read what people say, there are some different ideas. What does he mean? Does he just mean to finish up the work that needs to be addressed, maybe a problem that needs to be worked out, maybe all of that? There's always all of the above, right, Jeff? We could add that at the end. You can read the letter yourself and see what you think. But he's writing back to talk to him about this work to be done. And we're going to get into that this morning as we work our way through the letter. Before we finish up our discussion of Titus, can I just pause and insert here how grateful that I have been over the last week or two, as so many of you have inquired about what our congregational theme might be for 2022. Particular people have even posted on social media, does any know what the Bible reading is going to be for this year? I'm glad y'all were anticipating that and wondering about that. And it makes me think, Jeff, we should have said something right around the end of the year that we really didn't want to put all that out at a time when folks were traveling and we're trying to wait till today when everybody would be back, yeah, prior to the plague hitting us. We're glad everybody's at least back together online anyway, so that we could talk together as a family about what we're going to be trying to do in 2022. And so Jeff and I wanted to work on that today. But I know both of us were really encouraged that you were anticipating that. particularly that we were looking forward to the reading together. And I hope that we will do that. We have a plan. We're going to tell you about it today. I hope all of us will read together in the scriptures in 2022. And as you might have anticipated, the Titus stuff was not just random, but it's connected to this because our theme is going to come from the book of Titus. And so I want to help you see that today by inviting you to work with me quickly through Paul's message so that we can see this passage. In fact, it's a phrase in one of the verses that will be our focus for 2020. Let's begin by going back to where we left off. Are you still in chapter 1? Look again in verse 5, where he says, set in order what remains. That was the instruction. It was the continued instruction. But the question is, what remains that needs to be set in order? I don't know about you, but the first place my mind goes is to the rest of the verse. How about you? Because he goes on to say in verse 5, are you looking at this? Titus 1 verse 5. And appoint elders in every city as I directed you. And so maybe that's what he has in mind when he talks about setting in order what remains. You need to be sure that in each congregation there are elders. And how important would that have been? When you think about the corrupt culture around them, and then this problem of false teachers leading people astray, how important would it be at this time and in this place to have strong spiritual leadership who would be watching out for the flock, which is the task of an elder? They are sheep keepers. And to be sure, in these dangerous circumstances, God's people in this place are cared for. Surely that would be a vital work to do. And it was part of Titus' work. And I'm convinced that's not all that Paul has in mind. In fact, I think he has something even bigger and more fundamental in mind. As we make our way through the letter, it seems to me that Paul is very concerned all the way throughout, from beginning to end. He is very concerned that Titus helped these disciples understand this connection between what they believe and how they behave. He wanted them to understand that being a disciple of Jesus is more than just embracing new ideas about him or coming to accept some things about him. That's where it starts. But as you and I well understand, brothers and sisters, there is, after that, a transformation of life that takes place. In other words, what we come to understand and believe about Jesus radically alters the way a person then lives their life. And it seems to me in this letter, Paul is very concerned that Titus helped these folks on Crete understand that. In fact, he makes this point even at the very beginning as he introduces the letter. If you're still in chapter 1, go back up from verse 5 to the very first verse, where notice Paul introduces the letter in this way. He says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, listen to this, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. Look at that last phrase. The knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. In at least some translations, that's rendered this way. The truth that leads to godliness. It seems to me right up here up front, as he's just introducing himself, he's already hinting at where he's going to go. These truths believe lead to godliness. They impact your life. Now, that's just a hint, because he's going to work that a whole lot more as we get deeper into the letter. Jump to chapter 2 with me and look down to verse 11 and notice the way he comes back to this idea and he expands on it. This is chapter 2 and verse 11. He said, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing them to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. Now back up and notice first in verse 11, he said that the grace of God has appeared and it brings salvation, right? There's the blessing. That's what Jesus has done. He has brought salvation for us. That's what we come to believe and accept when we believe in Jesus. But notice the word at the beginning of verse 12. God, in his appearing, also instructs. Do you see that? Instructs us how to live. And he's not done with that idea. Look at verse 14. He comes back to this thought about how through Jesus we've been redeemed and purified and made God's own people. But notice the way he concludes verse 14. Zealous for good deeds. Do you see the connection between belief and behavior? In fact, in verse 12, he really unpacks that idea in some detail. In the bulletin article this morning, Randy will describe verse 12 as having this double component, where he begins by talking about an old way that is renounced. Do you see that in verse 12? He says, denying ungodliness and worldly desire. That's what God teaches us. There's an old life that's put away. We renounce that. And then we embrace this new way of life. We live sensibly and righteously and godly in the present age. That's what God teaches us to do. And so again, there is this connection in this little section between what we believe and how we obey. As people who have benefited from the grace of God that appear, we embrace the new life that goes with it. You see? And he's not done with that. Go to chapter 3, because he's going to go there again. In fact, in your reading, I'm sorry, Jeff, I'm giving a little bit of the reading. We're going to be reading Titus first this year. It will be interesting to notice how really in chapter 3, he comes back and says the same thing in chapter 2. He just says it a little bit longer. I'm picking up in chapter 3. Look at verse 3. He said, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Now he adds a new element here because he actually looks back to that old life. He says, this is who we are. This is how we lived. This is how we behaved. But there's verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. Remember in chapter 2 and verse 11, he talked about how the grace of God appeared. And this time, it's the kindness of God. And his love for man appeared. Verse 5, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So he's expanded even further. He has said more about what is it that God does through us for us through Jesus. But then look at verse 8. He says, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Do you see it? This is who we were. But God's kindness appeared and his love appeared. And through Jesus, he saved us. And because of that, because that's what we believe, we should then go on to engage in good deeds. In fact, if you just sit down and read Titus as one letter, I mean, in one sitting, just read the whole thing. It doesn't take very long. It's short. This idea of good deeds is just sprinkled all the way through the letter. Back up with me to chapter 2 for a second. In chapter 2, in verse 7, he tells Titus you be an example of good deeds. And then the passage we read earlier, chapter 2, verse 14. God's people are to be zealous for good deeds. And then in chapter 3 and verse 1, be ready for good deeds. In chapter 3 and verse 8, the passage we just read, God's people will be careful to engage in good deeds. And then chapter 3 and verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds. In fact, the most interesting one is back in chapter 1. Look down at verse 16. I passed over this one earlier because it's a little different. But look at it now, chapter 1 and verse 16. He talks about some who professed to know God. But look at what it says. By their deeds, they deny him. Do you see that? They say they know him, but when you look at their life, it isn't there. The deeds and the beliefs, rather, and the behavior don't line up with each other. When we believe Jesus, there's a life that's supposed to follow. Do you see that? It's all the way through the letter, and we're not done yet because there's still another angle from which to see this. So there's no stone left unturned. Paul doesn't leave us to figure out on our own what he has in mind when he talks about these good deeds. He actually, all the way through the book, gives us lists. Do you realize that? So you back up to chapter 1. He starts with the leaders. Elders have a list too. There's some things that they're supposed to do because of what they believe and who they are. And then we get into chapter 2 and the list really get heavy. He starts with the old men and he said, there's some things that you're supposed to do. And then he speaks to the old women and he said, you have some things that you're supposed to do. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to say who's an old woman and what you're supposed to do. I'm just saying that Paul said that by the Holy Spirit. You take it up with him. And then he talks about the young women. And he said, you've got some things. There's a list for you. And young men have a list. And even Titus, too, has a list just for him. And bondservants have a slave, and you, list, rather. And you get to the chop of chapter 3, and he said, citizens have a list of responsibility toward their government. And if you read that carefully, you're going to go home and delete about half of your Facebook posts over the last 2 years. This book is literally filled up with instructions that help disciples understand. Because of what I believe, because of who I am, what we have become in Jesus Christ, there is a life that I'm supposed to live. What I believe needs to line up with my behavior. And so, for 2022, we've just picked one of those phrases in this letter to focus our attention on in the coming year. We have borrowed the language from chapter 2 in verse 14. Will you look there? Where we are urged as God's people to be zealous for good deeds. You see, like the people who received this letter, we have been recipients of the grace of God that appeared. We have been loved by him. We have been redeemed and purified, and we've been made his special people. Recognize, brothers and sisters, that the people sitting in this room today and who are together with us online, we are not a random collection of humanity in Houston, Texas. We are, by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, we are his special people. Because that's who we are, God says, there's a life I want you to live now. And part of that life, chapter 2 and verse 14, involves good deeds. In fact, he even describes the spirit with which we do them. He said, I want you to be zealous for good deeds. So in 2022, we want to spend some time thinking about that. We're going to begin the year just by thinking about the spirit with which we do these good deeds, because he says we do so with zeal. And so we want to talk here at the beginning about zeal and what that is. How we have a passion for this work God has given us to do. And as we move a little further and get into springtime and we're planting again, although I will tell you, I don't know when springtime is this year. It kind of feels like right now. And it's January. Think April. We're going to transition and we're going to talk about the good deeds themselves. And I tell you, that's going to be an interesting piece of this, because when I start reading Titus, I think the good deeds God has in mind may be a whole lot bigger than what you and I are thinking about when we typically think about good deeds. And Titus, I think, will help us get that bigger picture. And then when it's roasting hot along in July and August and the kids are starting to think about going back in school, we're going to turn our attention to the God we serve, who is the one for whom we do these good deeds. And I think that perspective radically alters everything about how we see our work. It is a work ultimately that is for the Lord. And then when things cool off a little bit in the fall toward the end of the year, we're going to talk about stirring up each other, the responsibility we have toward one another to inspire good deeds. So along the way, you can anticipate that Jeff and Randy and Hunter and I will grab this idea and work it into our preaching. Certainly, you can anticipate when we hit those quarter changes, like in April, and we're going to shift our focus, one of us will do a lesson that will help you follow along with that and know where we are putting our attention for the next 2 or 3 months or so. Philip Shoemake, some of you may know, who is special to this church family, has done quite a bit of work with this idea of zeal. You may be aware that he's even put together a little workbook. And so we're going to try to take his workbook and plug it into our Bible classes over the course of the year. Now, I haven't settled exactly when that's going to be, only that it will be. And we've invited Philip, and he's agreed to come with us in the fall and to say some things to us from his study about the subject of zeal. We've also taken the additional step this year, we didn't do this last year, of trying to wrap our theme for the year into our Bible reading so they would complement each other. When Jeff and I were working on this in the fall, he graciously agreed to figure out a collection of readings that would go well with our theme. Having no idea when he agreed to that, how incredibly difficult the task would prove to be, to find readings from all over the Bible that tie back to the idea of being zealous for good works. And so he has done a lengthy period of work to put that together. So I'm actually going to pause and let Jeff say a word to you about the Bible reading, since he's done all the work on that, and then we'll wrap this up. Jeff? Three quick things, right?
That nice to me during the week. That's all I can say. Nicest thing I've heard you say about me in a long time. No. So on the back, all three exits, you're going to find a reading schedule for this year. And you're going to want to pick one up on the way out this morning. Because this year is a theme reading plan, as opposed to last year, a textual, where we read through Luke and read through Acts. If you didn't get one of these last year or you lost yours, it was no big deal. If you read Luke 20 the week before, you knew this week you were supposed to read Luke 21. Because it's a theme this year. If you don't have one of these or you lose yours, you're not going to know where you're at or what we're doing, because we're all over the Bible this year in our reading. And so like last year, you'll open it up and there will be just a week-by-week series of readings. Each week is a chapter. We believe in reading things in context, just like David did this morning in the sermon and what he's done so far, in taking our theme and our theme verse and situating that in the whole book and showing how it's really a very important part of Paul's thought through the entire book. We want to put the theme in the context and the verses that we want to focus on each week into context. So each week's reading is going to be a chapter. Now, here's the thing. As David also just alluded to, that whole idea that good deeds is a little more expansive in the Bible than what we may think of or what you may be sitting there thinking of this morning when we talk about doing good deeds. The Bible's concept of good deeds goes a lot further and deeper and broader than a lot of us often anticipate. So these readings are going to challenge us. But one of the other things that's going to happen is, as you pick up a particular week's reading, perhaps, you're going to look at that reading and wonder why in the world we picked that. And so the other thing that you're going to need to do this year, besides making sure you have a reading schedule so you can keep up with each week's reading, is you're going to, if you haven't been in the habit, you're going to want to watch our weekly podcast. The first one will be up either later tonight or tomorrow sometime, but you'll watch David and I make sense of why a particular reading was chosen. Some of the readings, you'll pick it up, you'll read it, and you'll say, oh yeah, that's obvious. I get why that reading was chosen. Some of those readings, you read ahead on us, and you're going to sit there and say, why in the world was that ever picked? That's where you're going to want to be watching the podcast week by week, and you see how we tie it into the theme each year, or this year, and what we're doing. And what's going to be really fun is, especially later in the year when we get in October, November, December, where we get to the end of the readings, you're going to watch David and I wonder why we picked some of these readings as well. And so we look forward to doing this with you this year. Do get one of these sheets this morning so that you are ready to join us. David has already given it away. We are starting this year by reading the first three chapters of Titus, the first 3 weeks. And so we hope that you will read that book a little bit more closely and deeply with us over the rest of January. And we look forward to a great year reading and thinking and talking our way through an important Bible concept.
The time each week to do the reading with your children. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us not just to tie our kids in with what we're doing as a church family. I think it's a great opportunity to build that habit of being good students of the Bible in our young people. Let me point you to one more thing that you're going to find really, really useful. I've already mentioned the article that's in the bulletin today that Randy wrote. Just did a fantastic job working Titus and highlighting our theme in the book. You'll want to read that. One of the other things that Randy did, though, that I really appreciated, he sort of tied this year with last year when we talked about pressing on and that upward call that is our focus that helps us get through this life. We sort of blend that together as we move toward that upward call that we talked about last year. This year, we're talking about what kinds of things we do along the way as we make the journey together toward our ultimate destination. And in reading Titus, the goal is on his mind too. Will you notice that with me? This will be the last thing we do together. Remember, I mentioned in Titus 1 in verse 1, Paul kind of hints there at what he's going to talk about in the book. He talks about the knowledge of truth which leads to godliness. But did you know the very next thing he says at the beginning of verse 2? In the hope of eternal life. And then in chapter 2, a minute ago, we looked at verses 11 through 14 and talked about how the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation, and how it teaches us how to live in the present age, verse 12. But did you notice what verse 13 says? Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. Do you see that Paul is thinking about that too? He's thinking about the end of the journey, the destination. And then in chapter 3, we read that segment too, where he talks about our old life, and then verse 4, how the kindness of God appeared and he saved us. But then notice in verse 7, we've been justified by his grace and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So all the way through the book, as he describes the journey, he has in view that destination, which frankly, brothers and sisters, just alters everything about the way we make the journey. In the coming year, we'll see how it impacts what we do while we're here making the journey. But in the back of our minds, always, as Paul reminds us here, we've got to remember that that's where we're going. That's where we're headed. I hope you'll think about that, not just as we work this theme together in 2022. My hope and prayer, brothers and sisters, is that always, always, like a subprocessor working in the back of our minds, we remember where we're going and what the destination is. I hope we'll do some things that will help us along the way in that journey. But I hope you're thinking about that destination this morning, because it might be that there's somebody here who, for some reason, you've gotten off track and your life is not oriented toward heaven. What a perfect time here at the beginning of a new year. As we think about the need for change, as Adam mentioned in his prayer, for renewal, to start fresh, to get pointed in the right direction by making things right with God. And if that's where you are this morning, more than anything, this church family wants to help you with that. Jesus wants to help you with that. So if you need to respond to him today, make your way to the front right now while we stand, while we sing together.